dissonance.
What?
Damn it.
New Dissident Radio. Keep your dissonance. What? Fuck, no. That's wrong. Shit. I totally fucked it up. I'm gonna do it again. New Dissident Radio. Keep your dissonance. Hey, I did it. Fuck me.
Hi, I'm Eddie Pepitone, and you're listening to Ardent Atheist, which is a contradiction in terms, because as soon as you're ardent about something, you believe. So these people are full of shit. But listen anyway, because it's fun to listen to people who think they're right.
Hello and welcome to Ardent Atheist, where reason reigns supreme. Today's episode brought to you by billions of years of evolution. Sitting next to me is my producer, Heather Henderson.
Hello.
You know Heather from the Facebooks, on the interwebs, and from the wailing pleas of lonely sailors. You can follow us on Facebook, just search for Ardent Atheist, and on Twitter.com/Ardent Atheists with an S at the end. You may also find links to our guest's website on ardentatheist.com, and you can email us at heather@ardentatheist.com and emery@ardentatheist.com. Our guests today are Taylor Negron, Matt Kirshen, and Taylor Williamson. Williamson. Fucking name. You know these folks from showbiz. Thanks for being here, guys.
Hey, hey.
My name's really long. Williamson, Williamson, fuck.
it's a Jewish name.
It is. Is that a Jewish name?
Yeah, yeah, it got shit. Like most people shorten it, it's Williamson.
It's true.
Well, yeah. We only have a couple of rules on the show. Number one, if you're listen, as an old hippie girl I met at Burning Man once said, you can plug anything you want as long as it feels natural. And rule number two, if you're a listener who's ever offended, get a sledgehammer and destroy your computer now. This show has no restrictions on language or content and certainly has nothing for you, you insipid cunt. Now, we also, by the way, I want to kick off the show. I don't know if I told everybody about this. We have a special guest, actually, who's coming in via Skype, Daniel Finca.
What is this, magic?
It's magic. Daniel, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Daniel lives in New York. He's Skyping in, and I'm going to tell you a little about Daniel before we get going here. And he's going to be with us for about 10 minutes, and we're going to get his story, and then we're going to go from there. First of all, Daniel posted a blog in response to Rabbi Adam Jacobs' horrific and ignorant open letter to an atheist, which was on the Huffington Post. In fact, here's an excerpt from the rabbi's good letter to the open letter to the atheist community. The first point I'd like to explore is that there really are no true atheists. When I read this, I think the day that it was posted, and when I read a sentence like that, I'm instantly just fucking livid. The religious do this shit all the time. Anyway, going on, it seems to me, he says, that in order to claim with certainty that there is no God, you would have to have knowledge of the totality of the universe, seen and unseen. And I don't think any of you guys are ready to make that claim.
That's true.
But it's not true. It's not true at the beginning because that's not what atheists are claiming, first of all.
Yeah, yeah. No, I agree with that. But it is entirely true that to claim with absolute certainty that there is no God, you'd have to have total knowledge of the universe. He makes no false statement in that particular sentence.
Well, the false statement is the establishing premise. The establishing premise is wrong. Atheists don't say that we know that there's no God. We dismiss your bullshit and we say we don't buy it because... Anyway, we'll get into that. So continuing on, he also says, let's see.
I'm uncomfortable already. Is that okay?
I'll set you up in a minute, Taylor. That's Taylor Williamson. How old are you, Taylor?
I'm 97.
97. So,
or 13, whichever is funnier.
You're very young. I think both are relatively equally funny. Wouldn't you argue, Matt?
I don't know. Yeah. I don't. Which years are we going for?
I don't know. Can we do this over again?
Okay, let's start from the top. Okay.
how old are you, Taylor?
3,000.
All right, enough.
Well, it's 3, nice to hear that Justin Bieber haircut's popular with the 3,000-year-old set.
Whoa.
Well, the beard is freaking me out with the Justin Bieber haircut.
I have a Justin Bieber haircut?
What?
No, it's not. There's not even close to enough.
But he got a new haircut that's cool, so I got the new one. I saved myself. Yeah.
Are you saying Justin Bieber cut his hair back to you?
Can we point out, as a 3,000-year-old... I think it's fair to say that logically Justin Bieber has a Taylor Williamson fuck.
All right, let me take the show back.
I screw that up, Williamsburg.
I'm sorry.
Haircut.
That's correct. That's correct.
All right, everybody. Hold on. Now, I want to get Mr. Finke involved in this conversation real quick here. Continuing to quote the rabbi, he claims, having spent a sizable portion of my life as an atheist, I understand your perspective. He clearly does not understand the atheistic perspective. He goes on, what I've found hard to understand from my new vantage point, however, is why so many of you spend so much time trolling around the comment sections of religiously themed blogs or spend good money on billboards on the Jersey Turnpike asserting a negative. I know, right? I'm not going to continue. All right. So the guy's just a fucking moron, an idiot beyond measure. And so I read the blog. I wanted to do something, but I masturbated instead, and that helped. But then Heather sends me this wonderful blog, camelswithhammers.com.
I thought it was camels with toes. That's why I clicked on it in the first place. I got deceived.
So she was accidentally pulled into a wonderful balance to this horrific moron. And the man was Daniel Finke, and he actually posted this top 10 tips for reaching out to atheists, which I love, was great. And I'll give you my six favorite, and then we'll talk to Daniel. Do not share the gospel with us. Do not lie. Do not assume you are either morally better, spiritually more attuned, or happier than we are simply because you belong to your faith. Do not try to offer us reasons to change our minds while refusing to open your own. Do not scold us for abandoning the faith. One of my favorites here, do not change your evidence criteria in self-serving ways, which is constantly what you get when you argue with theists. But Daniel.
Yes.
You read this guy's blog, and how did it make you feel? Why did you decide to write this letter?
Well, first of all, let me back up and say that we can know that certain kinds of gods don't exist. I don't think that we have to say that we can't know just because we can't have certainty. Certainty is not the standard of knowledge by any epistemologist in contemporary philosophy. You know, the standard of knowledge is that it's a justified true belief that is actually true in the world, and that you derive that belief in a way that didn't have, in a way in which the evidence is a good chain to your belief, that it connects to the reason that it's not accidentally true, so it's justified true belief, and it's not just accidentally true, but it's also true in the world. And if you were to ask actual philosophers, actual epistemologists, that's how they'll define knowledge. And in those sorts of terms, in a very practical way, we can know that certain God conceptions just don't have evidence. They're not justified beliefs. And it's fine to say that I know that certain kinds of God postulates are false. But anyway, how I felt was...
I'd just like to say real quickly, if I may, I don't know why, but when you talk the way you do with those wonderful words and knowledge, I get a mild chubby. I don't know if that makes me gay.
I knew it.
But you are fucking off the map. I could tell. Talk about raising the level of the show, which is why we're cutting him loose.
Forget these guys. Wow.
We're right here. We're right in front of you, right here.
I watched
what
four blocks
to
be
when
there.
He talks about the term epistetarian.
I don't know which word, but that sounded like the one.
Yeah, but
you
what
said
is that? What is he there?
Daniel, ask him.
Daniel, what is that when you refer to epistetory?
Epistemology.
Oh, the epistemologist?
Yes.
An epistemologist is someone who is a philosopher who does theory of knowledge. Like, how do we know what we know? What counts as a justified belief?
Okay. Gotcha.
So what's the word for a stamp collector?
Phlebotomist.
Whatever the opposite of that is.
Did I get it? Phlebotomist?
Knowledge is quantum, though. It changes. Once we know how to get in the house. So now, how do we rob it?
You know, it's funny, like, that was just yesterday a student told me she was a pescatarian Presbyterian who was baptized in Episcopalian. If only she were an epistemologist now.
That means she only eats pies, right?
What did you say, Taylor?
Pescatarian means she only eats Pez.
Pez, is that all?
Pez.
Thank you. That's all. That's all I have.
You've
to say.
Shot your wad early, buddy.
No, I mean,
With the age gags and that.
I don't have an accent.
Taylor?
It's just interesting that as we're coming to these, as they want to call it the end times, which I call the beginning times, we're just complete. The chapters are complete. We know a lot now. We can go to the next level.
Okay.
And that knowledge to me is something that just, you know, is complete. If we know something, then we can go to the next level of understanding something.
Okay. Well, and but how does that relate to, for example, what we're talking about with basically Daniel's rebuttal to the rabbi talking so condescendingly about atheistic thinking? I mean, you're not an atheist, right, Taylor?
Me? No, I'm an atheist.
I was asking Taylor Negro.
Oh no.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
You know, I'm very many things, so I am part atheist, absolutely.
Okay, we'll get to that. So, Daniel, how did it make you feel, and tell us a little about your response.
Well, all right, first of all, one of the things that most bothers me about this is that, if you want to ask how I feel, is that for many of us, we are former believers. You know, in my case, I went to one of the most religious colleges in the country, one that literally expels people for having sex. And, you know, I was a virgin until my 20s, and I spent my summers, you know, at Christian camps and, you know, trying to spread the gospel. And, you know, I mean, I devoted my whole life to this. And when you kind of get condescended to...
Matt wants to know what, Matt?
Like, when people get expelled from these places, they publish a list just so you can... Just you can track them down. No
hey,
reason.
Going to pick up. I love picking up girls at Sexaholics Anonymous. So, Daniel.
So to be condescended to and told that I'm not a real atheist because I, you know, as though I don't know what I am. To kind of have the treatment as though you've never thought about these issues, and that it's somehow incivil for you to adamantly insist on your atheism, that you want to reach out to fellow atheists with billboards, et cetera, when it's a matter of connecting with other people who've gone through a kind of, like literally a spiritual and religious experience.
Well, I would say not just fellow atheists also, Dan.
They invalidate our spiritual move out of atheism when they say you can't talk and you can't organize and you can't form an identity around, you know, something which for many of us is actually, you know, the end point of all that religiosity. You know, it's fine if you have a spiritual life and a religiosity as long as it stays within these bounds of actual belief. And if you actually are devoted and committed and you come to disbelief, then the idea is you're supposed to shut up and not offend anybody who's still in the faith.
Well, that's the basics. Really that's the basis. That's the basis that guys like the rabbi are coming from. They're just trying to quell dissent in their bad ideas, in my opinion. That's really what I think it is. Yeah. And you're honestly, your 10 tips for reaching out to atheists was absolutely brilliant. I think every theist who wants to have a discussion with atheist people should read that. And again, they can find it at camelswithhammers.com. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
You know, I really got upset when he was talking about, you know, why we put up billboards and have discussions about atheism. Stop talking about it, you know?
Yeah.
If I have to hear one more person thank God for helping them get
what's
to
everywhere
work, or on their Facebook it's or Twitter, or if I have to hear about little Malik's football game and how God helped him, you know,
I God did when help I'm him going on that. To, I don't know if you saw that game, but he did some weird things. Like Malik did, like it wasn't human. God was involved in that. Like I'm an atheist, but that particular game, like that was weird.
I'm listening.
Everything else, I'm with you on that one, Heather. But like that was it was peculiar.
They actually had a college humor about that, where a guy wins a football, I think the Super Bowl or something, and he does that. He says, "Thank God, I'm an atheist."
Well, Daniel, I want to thank you so much for A, writing that, and B, appearing on the show with us. We really appreciate you giving us your time. I'm really encouraged when I meet someone like you, because you're you're an adjunct professor. Do I have that right?
Yep.
Okay. It's really, really nice to know that there are people like yourself, and I'm interested that in the idea that you're able to actually you're a professor at a college and you're able to be publicly atheist. You know, there was a time when that wasn't even an option in our country, and that's
right.
Fucking horrific, in my opinion.
Is that the case?
I'm not yet on a tenure track, so. my attitude is I'm either going to be outspoken and honest about, you know, the truth. Because if philosophy professors can't be, in our classrooms, we have to be much more measured, of course. You know, in my classroom, it's not about, you know, advocating atheism. But as far as public education, If philosophers who are, by the way, 84% non-theist professional philosophers, 84% are not theist believers. Mm-hmm. And yeah. So if we're quiet, we just leave it to the Rabbi Adam Jacobses to do the to do this amateur philosophy and give this impression that this is what, you know, the state of knowledge is, you know, where he quotes, oh, there's some smart people in the 1950s, you know, Lewis and Ayer
yeah,
disagree.
C.S. Lewis.
It's just up in the air.
Yeah, yeah. Know? Yeah, he's out
and
of
so
his mind.
For me, philosophers need to, you know, speak out and say, look, we have really good arguments here, and really thinking people, you know, most of us, are rejecting this. And so, but most philosophers feel like it's content that it's in the public, it's in the literature, it's an academic issue. They don't feel that sort of public impetus that I do.
Right.
Thank you.
But I feel like it's part of being a philosopher. But anyway.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We'll get back to that. Did you have a question for Daniel?
Yeah.
Daniel, Taylor yeah. Williamson has a question for you.
Why do you hate Jewish people so much?
If
that's not a
my
real
beard
question.
Right now, you know I don't.
Daniel, okay. Thank you so much for thanks for calling in. We really appreciate your time.
I just want to say one more thing real quick. I just want to say thank you for speaking out. I mean, thank you for saying something. And I really just applaud people like you for not just getting mad and talking to your friends about it and shaking your fist, but actually speaking out and saying something. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Heather. I really appreciate it. Thanks. And great job, comics. I watched your stuff over the weekend, all weekend. I loved it.
He's been watching
anyway,
you
take
guys.
Care, everybody.
Thanks.
You.
Thanks, Daniel. Have a good night.
Thanks, you too. Bye.
Bye.
You'll have to make sure I see that.
See what?
What he wrote.
Oh, I'll show you.
Oh, yeah.
I'll email it to you.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I'll put it on my Facebook.
Cool. So.
I'm really confused.
Tell me why you're confused.
When are we going to talk about Alan Arkin?
That wasn't one of the topics, Taylor.
But what's this show about?
No, this is about ardent atheists.
Oh. Oh, my God.
That's next door.
Oh, my God. You said you want to come on Alan Arkin. I was like, if it helps my career, I guess.
Oh,
so.
See, that's it, man. Were you on AT&T, the 3G network? You didn't hear me, did you?
Yeah.
We should have emailed. I'm sorry.
Oh.
Do you want to leave?
I mean, I'm here, I guess.
I'm going to tell you why I have this gentleman in the room. Taylor Williamson is one of my favorite comics. And I want to say young comic. Because you seem so young, but with the Bieber haircut. and the Fred Flintstone hair, I really don't think that you're as young as you look.
The beard.
He's got this thing going right here.
All these compliments and attacks, it's very confusing.
We love you and we hate you.
But you do never be happy, but
you do tend to tuck your thumbs into your shirt sleeves, and that makes you look younger, which is great. I'm going to start doing that myself. Cool. But what I wanted to bring you on because you had told me in a conversation that you recently went over to Israel for the Birthright trip, right?
I went to the homeland.
It's the homeland?
The homeland.
Security? Homeland Security?
So you went to Birthright there?
Yeah. Some people don't know about Birthright. If you're not Jewish, it sounds like the craziest thing ever.
I
like
know about it.
It sounds like a joke.
Whereas if you are Jewish, nothing sounds like the craziest thing ever.
What was it like?
If you're 18 and 26, you get a free trip, all expenses paid trip to Israel for 10 days, period. And it was amazing. I didn't want to go. The only reason I wanted
to go. Did you go because it's free? Because that's really stereotypically horrific when you think about it.
Well, I didn't. Oh, because I wanted to go to learn about my heritage.
It's free. Why would I not go?
Well,
I don't have to
pay. And the Jewish part.
Yeah. I'm not. Before the trip, I referred to myself as a bad Jew.
Uh-huh.
Like I'm half Jewish, but I round up. That's good humor right there. A little silliness. I used to go to Hebrew school when I was little, and then my parents were divorced, and they did not like, and they still don't like each other, in case you were wondering. And
based on your level of humor, I assumed that
my childhood was great. I don't need attention from strangers. So then I would go to like Hebrew school like every other week, he wouldn't let me go on his time, which doesn't really work, you know.
Right.
And then I didn't really do. Then I would go to like a conservative shul or like synagogue services, and everything's in Hebrew. I'm like, what's the point? This is dumb. So I stopped going. So I'm not religious.
So you don't believe there's a God?
I'm I'm
you seem nervous. Okay, wait a minute. You made a rule. He asked me. Let me tell you something. Taylor Williamson said, "I will come on your show, and I appreciate you being, you know, honest with what you're going to talk about." And he was uncomfortable about coming to talk about the Birthright trip because he doesn't. He told me, he goes, "I don't want to badmouth anybody or anything like that." So I promised him a safe word. And so if we're kind of picking on Taylor and he feels like he's being pushed too hard, he has a safe word, and it's nigger please. So if he says that, we have to stop going after him, just so everybody knows.
We didn't agree on the first part of that.
Yeah, I thought a safe word is meant to be, like, chosen safe? To be something that you're unlikely to say.
So when you returned from Israel, did you feel a renewed interest in being a Jew? Did something ignite?
I'm not religious at all, thank God.
But, I mean, the experience of being in Israel.
But what I got out of this is... I'm proud to be Jewish, and I'm proud of my heritage, and I don't refer to myself if someone says, "Are you Jewish?" I don't go, I just go, "Yeah." Period. So that's what I got out of it. It was amazing.
Well, that means you could actually be on a path now.
I don't know. I came here. I walked 0.5 miles. I hope the path is no further than that. I went to a kosher restaurant, unironically, which is kind of weird for me. But...
Do you think you're going to hell? Well, actually, Jews don't believe in hell, do they?
I don't know. No,
everything's
no
hell.
Well, you brought us those. Though you brought us those beautiful matzo.
Yeah, I brought
crackers.
I got things. Seven boxes of matzo for $4 at Ralph's.
So did I.
And so did Taylor Negron.
You guys met there.
Taylor.
Little conversation icebreaker. I thought I would bring it to make everyone like me more, but the last person I gave matzah to who was unfamiliar with it, she says, "I almost choked."
Right.
Because I didn't have any water and it's very dry in my throat, and she legit almost died from it.
I think the dryness is actually the reason for the Jewish accent.
One of the things that I like most about my Jewish connection.
Are you Jewish?
Yes. My father's family is Sephardic Jews for many years. We just did the genealogy.com.
Okay.
Which was very interesting to understand where we came from. Our family is Vidal. When I met Gore Vidal, I said, "Oh, yeah, my grandmother, my father's family is Vidal." And he looked at me and he said, "Italian or Jewish?" And I thought, well, these are both wrong questions.
Yeah.
Jews can do all the life things really well. They can bury people, marry people, sit shiver for people. Those fundamental things that that connect us all. We always are going to be at a wedding or a funeral or whatever. Mm-hmm. But Jews really do that very well. And to me, that pleases me. Because nothing becomes more real than a dead body. And happy because my friend is an atheist, and she just killed herself on Friday. So we're dealing with this funeral.
Yeah.
So how do we do it? Not to offend her, you know, even though I'm very mad at her.
Well, I don't think she can be offended anymore.
Yeah.
She's released herself from that emotion.
She was in pain.
Right.
She was in awful pain. Right. But she was a great atheist. I mean, if she was here right now, she'd set you all straight.
Well, you know, funerals are for the living, really. I mean,
yes.
The dead people just don't really care anymore. They're dead. They just don't care. And people care about how they celebrate the dead.
But we don't know that. No one's ever told us that.
You're right. No one has ever told us
that. Once again, it goes on the other side. You can't say with something you don't know. We don't know.
Wait, atheists don't believe in an afterlife?
No. You know, I say
what
this.
What is going
I
on
say
here?
This. You know, I say that I am an atheist, and I say there's no God until you... there is definitive proof presented.
Yeah,
I just
no
say
proof.
There's no God.
Yeah.
Why would I walk around going, there might be a God or there's a God, if there's never, ever been in the time that we've been able to even...
The one thing I will say to that is, how do you explain Ghostbusters?
God did not direct that movie.
You know, for an atheist, you are making some very strong arguments with that.
For me, sometimes...
Ivan Reitman?
Oh, okay.
Taylor?
Well,
Taylor?
When you see amazing things happen, like babies.
Okay.
I'm always amazed that you can, for 1 minute, I can go, there could be a God thing happening here.
Babies make you feel like there's a higher power
of
some sort?
Yeah.
When I
think of two people who love each other and they actually orgasmed out a baby that they love.
If that's how it was, I would probably be a little on board with you, but usually it's a couple of people smoking crack in a trailer park.
Who do you hang out with?
Yeah, and there
was the one thing I learned very early in my life, and that's because, and I'm lucky. I never hung out for a minute with anyone who was more stupid than me. I'm serious. I mean, I did. I was one of the snotty people. I was a soche. And thank God my parents had a Rolls Royce to back it up at a tennis court.
If you're telling me,
but I mean, I literally.
If you're telling me you've changed, I'm going to have to leave because you're on this show for a reason.
No. I don't know anyone who smokes crack. I really don't. And the people that I know that have had babies.
But really, I mean, most babies are an accident. Most babies are not the beautiful picture you're painting. And I don't know why you need to turn what I think is, and I agree with you, by the way.
Well, I mean, like, I agree with you that my nephews,
they're beautiful. The family is beautiful. Having children is beautiful. Why does it have to turn to magic? Why does there have to be some hand
of
something?
Well, there is some kind of magic that we could create to create a beating heart.
Well, wait. Well, so that magic also created the deformed baby, too? The one eyes or the one that came out?
Absolutely. God is great! I mean, thalidomide is what did that. No, God.
Joanne's baby was born deaf, dumb, and blind.
Okay.
And sucks.
It didn't suck.
It didn't do that either.
for a person to be deaf.
She was deaf, dumb, and blind. She couldn't walk. But for us... But we loved her, and we took care of her till she was 17, and then she died. So it's like, but for us, it was an incredible opportunity for healing and awakening. I mean, so it was like, yeah, it was screwed to have be deaf, but she had a purpose.
Well, I think that's coping. What you just illustrated is human coping, which is fine. It's a wonderful trait that we have. It's one of the reasons we do so well as a species. But I just don't think that it needs to be magic. In fact, I share your joy in the beautiful birth process, but I see it as a completely different angle. It's the evolutionary process has brought us to a place that's just fucking fantastic. I mean, we're not splitting. Well, we are splitting cells when in the womb. But I mean, it is beautiful, and it's the fact that we've developed and evolved an imagination that has turned everything magic in our minds. That's what I think is going on. And it's
I never looked at it. Magic always didn't. I don't know about magic.
Yeah.
I don't believe in magic. I believe in, like, you know.
But that's what it sounds like you're describing.
No. Like, everybody goes, comes up to me, they go, wow, you know, you've been in 100 movies. I get up at 4:30 every day of my life since 1974. I've never had a drink. I smoke a pot occasionally, and I'm constantly working like a slave.
Yeah.
There's no magic. I work really hard.
Right. Oh, I'm sorry. We have to have station identification, which I've missed once already. You're listening to Ardent Atheist on New Dissonant Radio and available on the iTunes Store. Today's episode sponsored in part by Uncle Toby's Boy Bait. If boys aren't coming, it ain't Uncle Toby. We're talking to Taylor Negron, Matt Kirshen, and Taylor Williamson. Sorry to interrupt you there. I cannot say your name right, Taylor. It's so weird. And we have two Taylors.
I like the attention. It's cool.
No, but I mean, like, it's like, you know, people in the little things. I'm a very, very dedicated cook.
Okay.
People come up and then they come in the house and go, Taylor, it's really magical when I come here. It's so beautiful in this kitchen all the time. I go,
So you're a god.
I'm not a god. I was up at 4:30 in the morning cutting the scallions.
You worked very hard for that person to have that
magic,
feeling, though, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, I did it for me.
You did it for you, and it came out, and it affected
it came out, yeah. I mean, it's like, listen, what we forget in life is cooking and splitting wood and creating the fire since the Industrial Revolution. I live in France half the time, so I know what it's like. Boy, if that light goes out, it's over.
Right.
And the magic is gone.
Right.
So the magic is keeping the light, the flame, the wood dry, and the food in there.
Right.
That's the magic. And how do you do that? We have to get up right now. We have to drive all the way down to get that. So I think it's like, I don't believe in magic. I think what people don't want to believe is, it's easier to believe in it's hard to believe in that life is so much work.
Where do you think we go when we die?
I don't know.
You don't know.
A cemetery.
I'm not going to a cemetery.
I don't know.
Disney. I'm not going there. Disney. You want to go to Disney.
Can you do that? Could you scatter ashes at Disneyland?
Sure you could.
No, not with their consent.
Oh, yeah. You'd have to do it. You'd have to just go in with it in a backpack and do it. You could easily do it in a park somewhere. It's not a big deal.
Oh.
There are bone chunks.
But there are.
I spread my aunt down in Mazatlan.
See, that was the other thing. In my specific magic life, I have encountered so many grisly murders. me, just me and the dead person.
And,
oh, yeah.
That's terrible.
It's not what terrible. It's what it is. You learn.
I don't think you should be saying this on the radio.
Have you encountered a suspicious number of these?
Where have you hid these bodies?
No.
As we get older, that keeps happening to us.
I was not the perpetrator of these murders. I was the innocent.
Ah.
You know, but when you do see someone laying there with their throat slashed, you go, yeah. I wonder where they are, and I wonder what we're going to do with all their stuff.
I wonder what they are hiding. You know, I had a friend that was really, really dear to me who died. He had a stroke or a heart attack or something like that. I guess he wasn't that dear to me. But he had a huge porn collection. And I knew this because I had been to his place, and he was a hoarder.
Is that why he was dear to you?
He was dear to me because we made a couple of films together, but I won't get into that.
So he had a porn collection.
He had a very, very large porn collection, but it wasn't just that. His whole place was, he was hoarding all sorts of weird and strange things. And I thought about, like, you know, his mom had to go clean that out. His mom, his relatives, his parents, what would they think of him?
You're basically describing Taylor Williamson's biggest nightmare.
Well, I'm not even kidding.
It's coping again. My friend's father died, and she called me up and said, you got to come over here. The bottom drawer is filled with massive black dildos and gay porn. This is not my dad. So it wasn't funny when it happened, because I had to go there, and we had to cope.
Right.
And then we had to go, we're not going to judge, and we're not going to think about this.
That's all I can think about for the rest of the week.
But this was a room filled.
But you see,
like a hoarder. You know the show Hoarders? Have you ever seen that show?
Yeah.
Well, what happened?
Seen from floor to ceiling?
We get that.
I wasn't there for that.
Oh, okay.
But I knew. I thought about it.
Did someone waste this porn? That's what I need to know. Was the porn wasted?
I think it was all just thrown out with a shovel. Like, I think they went in there with
horrible.
A shovel just like in Hoarders.
I was kind of like a boy prostitute.
And you were not.
What?
Yes, I was.
Shut up.
You see, why are you so shocked?
That's phenomenal.
Yeah, it's true.
I love this. Go on.
Really, I wasn't a lovable situation to be in, to be thrown out of a moving car.
Oh, no, that's
or
not...
Or to be sleeping in the street and having your head kicked in and being robbed. It's not fun.
Yeah, but it's better to be the pimp. Go on.
No, because then you're taking advantage of people who are in my position. But what you learn from that is that you take the value out of sex. That sex is... We put so much power into... pornography takes valuable time away from me blowing you. So I never...
Why are you pointing at Taylor Williams?
Because he's the cutest guy in the room.
He is the cutest.
I love all this extra attention.
Because
this
I don't... I never understood why anybody would care about porno.
Uh-huh.
I mean, in my little godless world, I can't imagine how you could go to a plastic thing when you can go to a real thing.
Well, that's the problem. Many people aren't Taylor Negron and
that's
don't
true.
Have the opportunity to blow Taylor Williams.
As a matter of fact.
We're talking about a surrogate.
Henry, I'm sure that there was a time when you were 24 that you looked like this guy.
Yeah, and you know what? I didn't
Sorry,
use
Matt.
Porn much then,
yeah.
But I'm now 47 years old, and
I
got to be honest
porn?
With you. I love the porn. Yeah.
Listen, yeah. You know, there's. I spoke with someone back in Philadelphia who I was good friends with, and he hipped me to something that I'd never thought about, and that porn is extremely useful for many, many people, and especially people who are disabled. Or I'm still laughing.
Yeah,
not
no, funny. I had a cousin Casey who was disabled after an accident, and he called me and said, I need pornography, and I need it bad, and I need it now.
There is
was it like because he could no longer reach the shelf?
There's
yeah,
a website out there that you can look up right now, and I'm not joking, it's called Porn for the Blind.
Oh yes.
You can go, I mean, it's an amateur website done by people who care, but basically they read, they watch porn and they talk about what's happening. And these are for blind people so they can know what's...
That's kind of good.
That's really cool, right?
Wait, this is for people...
Blind people and handicrafts need porn just like we do.
But the other thing is, the flip side of it is, I did a movie called The Fluffer about porn of the Washington.
Did you deliver pizza in that too?
No, I played the writer-director of a very entangled kind of a murder, gay murder mystery. It was a very serious film, and I got involved in the gay porno world.
Yeah,
but once again, it's not a good life.
Okay,
those people are HIV positive. They're sad. They're drug addicted, and so we don't want to use people, the underclass, to amuse people.
Okay,
that bothers me.
Well, it's. I think the porn industry it's definitely filled with people who are doing oftentimes the wrong thing for themselves.
And they're filming it. And making someone's, and they're only getting paid $800 a day max. But somebody's
you actually know the price.
I did a movie about it. I was in the world for 6 months. I know a lot about it.
Yeah, it is a an industry that heavily takes advantage of individuals.
This is one of the things.
No question.
Like why I'm never really.
It's why I come so quick when I watch it, for the record.
You're always jerking off.
Wait, I have a question.
Yes.
This whole porn for the blind thing, is that for the porn for guys who jerked off too much earlier on in life? So they went blind and then now they have pornography for them?
And if so, can you go full circle?
Yeah, can you bring it back around?
I guess the people reading the porn on the website are going blind as they speak.
Well, let's bring this to what's going on right now. Okay. You have a terrible situation in Japan.
Uh-huh.
And everybody's, you know, these Glenn Beck and all these people, even on Facebook, they're saying, this is it. It's the end of the world.
Yeah.
Which is absurd.
I know.
It's so insane.
You know why it's absurd, Taylor? It's not 2012 yet.
Well, no, I mean...
Which is it? I mean, is it 2012 or is it now that Japan's
reality,
going
this
down?
Is like a real reality. Let's say that tonight a hideous catastrophe of epic proportion happened. Let's say that we lost, 1.9 billion people.
Okay.
We'd still have 11 billion people.
That's exactly...
They wouldn't be documented. And in the end, you go like, well, we lost a billion. Come on, give me a break.
Yeah, there's 6 billion of us.
You know, it's just... Do you know that little place in Japan, in northern Japan, where the tsunami hit... They come every 150 years. They have the wood plate drawings of
it. Sure.
But in those days, there was only 80 people living there.
Right, right.
Or 8,000 people.
Well, they didn't have TVs and the internet web
and Twitter.
Didn't
have like suburban Range Rovers filled with fake milk.
So what you're saying is we need a tidal wave.
I mean, you know, it's like what we're exporting. The number one thing we export in China right now is Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. And the people are getting bigger and type 2 diabetes, and but it's a moneymaker.
So, the Chinese people are getting bigger, and there's already a billion of them.
Yeah, we're talking about the access.
Are we going to reach the point where we only need half of them to jump up and down at the same time?
Too soon.
Too soon.
Too soon.
Too soon, Matt Kirshen.
Is that their names?
I cannot stand.
There was a girl that did a website that just I was absorbed by. Her name was
And are we still talking about Japan or the porn? Which one?
Both.
We're moving on. Both. Pamela Foreman put up these. We came across it. Somebody sent it to me. It was a video of this what seemed to be like this 20-something Christian girl. With a big plastered smile, talking about how beautiful it was that her prayers and her friends' prayers and her church's prayers to wake up the atheist and open their eyes came to pass 2 days after they had started praying, when God grabbed Japan and shook it by the shoulders. I'm not kidding. This was so
these
amazing.
People are insane.
Yeah.
They're not educated. Nobody talks about it in this country. Well, maybe in England they talk about it. But
at the end of the day, she was a troll. She was just doing a performance, which was really a good performance. Really good. And she'd been doing this performance for like a year.
I'd rather see Shirley Bassey.
It goes back to she did the same thing with the Haiti thing, you know, and so when you looked at all of her YouTube, there was a history of this kind of just twisted, silly, absurd Christian thinking. Not really absurd.
And it's all silly until it happens here, you guys.
You mean Glenn Beck? We're back to Glenn Beck.
I grew up, I'm talking about this building collapsing.
Oh, what about it? Northridge, you were here for that.
I was here but I'm thinking like if we have a really big one.
Yeah.
We could be in this room for days.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that won't be fun.
We're going to suck the hell out of Taylor. Well,
we've got the muscles.
I've got you guys. I don't know you're talking about. I'm going to have a ball.
What? N-word, please? Is that... Can I do that?
If you're... No, you
can't. You have to say it
You
full.
Have to actually say the word. You can't even say it.
I mean, it God only affects you when it's in your neighborhood.
That's exactly right.
If everything's fine, it's nobody says anything.
Exactly.
But the minute it gets bad, oh, now we got to talk about it. They took Japan. They took... Where's it? No one talked about Christchurch in New Zealand. I mean, it was like... That was in the news for maybe 2 hours.
Yeah.
Because people wanted to hear Charlie Sheen.
That's exactly right. Well, and Christchurch... Well, Christchurch happened long before Charlie Sheen.
I always
Sheen,
say,
right?
like with everybody who gets mad at me, I go, Charlie Sheen is literally an abortion that lived. That he should have been meant to be aborted. But everybody goes like, ooh, Taylor.
I just said that.
You can't say that. But We have such... The fetus has so much rights, but the minute the fetus starts endangering five other fetuses or driving through red lights... This there was a fetus today. He went down Brown Boulevard. This fetus took out three cars and then, right in front of us. But God forbid you that you go a proper old-fashioned Yankee college abortion. Do it. It's easy. It's
so we should just go just abort Charlie Sheen right now.
Well, I mean, I think that we have to get a time machine, but I mean, it's like on
or these, a massive coat hanger.
You know, it's just like I don't. I mean, I can. This is where I get in trouble, but I mean, like, let's have one or two children. We shouldn't have that many children.
Yeah.
But if we got rid of him retroactively, I don't know what retroactively means.
It's called murder.
How about the time machine thing before? Is that retroactively?
That would actually be using
a time machine,
bending time space to achieve a certain goal.
Would that be worth the lack of Major League Two?
Oh, yeah, I'm not sure I want to get
that. I liked Hot Shots as well.
Hot Shots was good.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
What I don't understand about my life is why, let's say that so many, and I know this will be an incendiary word, but it happens to me a lot, these miracles keep happening in my life.
Okay.
That are, like, insane and over the top.
Okay. Give me an example.
Well, the other day, my accountant said, okay, you can't afford the taxes for 2 years on your house. You owe $27,000 on the West Hollywood house. Okay. They're going to start foreclosure. We have no rent for you right now in this house right now, and your doctor bill is $14,000.
That doesn't sound miraculous at all.
Oh, it was horrible. Then we got a phone call.
Oh, that's weird.
That one of my houses in France got sold for $190,000.
That's not a miracle.
From us it was that night. Trust me, to go from my house going into foreclosure and not being able to pay the rent to Michael Caldwell and then to get whatever you want to call, I'm just like saying this is a series of events.
Couple of questions.
Okay.
Had you put the house up for sale in France?
7 years ago.
Oh, okay. So there is a cause and effect that we can chase.
To the exact minute.
Right.
And then he got hired to be the Aflac duck.
Why? Why is it a miracle though? Just because it?
Because I don't. I almost lost my house, and my house is worth $1 million. I would have lost it. And when you own a house and all your things are in there, and it's like my stuff's in there and the roof's in
but
there.
It's an emotional thing that you go through. That's a process.
We were saying goodbye to the house, and anybody who's ever had a house foreclosed upon knows it's highly emotional.
It is very emotional. I too have had my house up on the list.
Did you lose it?
No, but I've come very close a lot of times living alone in a three-bedroom.
For that moment, enjoy it.
Yeah.
I think you should, and I don't see why not. Why, you know, you shouldn't
I totally enjoyed it.
But it's like winning the lottery, do you know what I mean, too?
I know people who lost their house in this huge foreclosing nightmare that's going on around the country. And do you know what they say? It's a miracle. I got from underneath that nightmare. I'm now free of it. I'm completely happy. It was driving me crazy.
I love money too much. I have $900,000 in equity. It would be not a good thing. Oh, no.
My point is, it depends on the perspective.
I know, well, the perspective is for me, and literally, well, I am the king of the world.
Well, I own a rucksack.
You can't do that joke here. No one
do
knows what ruck means. No one knows what ruck means.
Oh, it's German for back.
It's German for bag?
Back.
Back.
Yeah,
it's a back sack.
Yeah.
Well, they backpack. Said rock sack, so it still works for me.
Oh, cool.
Like a sack of rocks. I was like, oh, that's funny.
I was being silly. I thought everybody did get it. You really didn't know what he meant, Taylor?
All right. How old are you? I can't. Heather, you looks black. I don't want to say the N-word.
Say it, nigga, please.
Hey, Heather.
No. Yes? I love that he says
in front of Taylor.
Heather looks black.
But I'm actually Jewish. Hello.
That's where confusion comes. She might be very Sephardic.
No, you're black.
I was always called nigger faggot.
Oh. That's fun.
Nigger faggot kike. And I cannot stand those three words.
Have you honestly been together called kike before?
Well, because my last name is Negron, which is
right.
Negro.
Oh, right, right.
So I was called nigger from kindergarten in the 60s. It was horrible because they said it in such a tone. I didn't know what it meant. Like, why were they so mean about it?
Gosh.
And then they also said, little goddamn faggot. And
what was
they'd say, little goddamn faggot. And then they'd go, kike.
Behind your back or quietly near you?
No, in my head when I was like 7 years old.
Wait a minute, wait a minute.
Hold on.
Hearing these things in your head?
Yes. In my life. Walking in my school clothes through the hallways.
Okay.
At Rosemont Junior High School.
Okay.
I've never heard, I mean, Kike is kind of, like, to be anti-Semitic is like believing the world is flat, kind of. That's the worst analogy I've ever given. But it's so... I probably had worse, honestly. But it's irrelevant in society. Like it doesn't make any sense
anymore.
Do you think the Earth is flat because
it makes it easier for the Jews to control it?
It was horrible as a child to hear that.
Oh, I can imagine.
I mean, it was very scarring, actually.
Why do you think small children? I had the same experience. But mine started in first grade, the moment I hit school.
Too, yeah.
And she is black, actually.
Well, you know, my thing was being biracial, living in a primarily black neighborhood, that was a problem from first grade on. I never had heard anything like that in my life. So I really have the same, I understand where you're coming from.
I've always been an outsider in the world from that day because they said, you'll go to school, you'll learn, you'll be safe, it'll be a good thing, they'll give you apples, you'll learn how to live.
School's never safe like that.
Well, it became safe.
When? Once you got old enough to fight back?
I never fought.
In your mind, at least?
No, because
you had to be able to go strong enough.
No, because when I was 13 years old, Rick Stearns pushed me down the stairs backwards, and my books went everywhere in my head, and he goes, you faggot. And I looked it up, and with complete clarity and with great calmness, I said, I really wish you were dead. 4 hours later, the children gathered at my window to tell me that he was dead.
What?
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 They gathered 4 hours later in front of my window to tell me that Rick, his mini bike went off Andrews Crest Highway. He'd broken his neck and he was delivered dead on arrival at Glendale Adventist Hospital.
Well, you know that's not your fault.
I was only 13. I didn't know what was my fault. I believe
Taylor Negron is the missing Jesus story. That's exactly
so
what I think.
No, it's nothing. I think
we should revisit these murders.
That's what I'm saying.
That's
what people all the time. Well, I have to go. Come to Janice's with me on 12:45 on Sunday. My life is different than most people because when I tell these stories, people are like, whoa! And then I'm like, yeah.
Well, I think it's just another
example. I didn't kill him.
Okay, I believe you.
I said those
words. Did you carry guilt as a result of that?
I never did.
Let's get back to this in just a minute, if you will. I'm sorry. You're listening to Ardent Atheist on New Dissident Radio and available on the iTunes Store. Ardent Atheist is made possible by people who hear the end of the world is nigh and worry, but for other reasons. We're talking to Taylor Negron, Matt Kirshen, and Taylor Williamson. I interrupted you, Taylor. You didn't feel guilty when that happened? I would be just
I was raised without any religion, so there was no guilt was not even an option.
Really?
I was raised in like...
I love what you just said. Did you hear what he said? He was raised without religion, so guilt wasn't an option.
No, I was raised in my parents were from New York City from the projects, and it was like, you better get sure that you make money and you get find out what the budget is, and if you're going to be in show business, you better be starring in something and don't fuck around on the corner.
Was that hard?
No, it gave me drive. It was like, don't hang around.
You're a poster child for non-religion. I mean...
I am.
I love this.
Yeah. I mean, I never, but consequently, I've always been drawn to religion.
Okay.
Because I realized, why is it that I got so much?
Well, I think because you worked for it. That's exactly why you got so much.
I didn't work for my face.
That is part of
your face works for you.
Well, I have a symmetry to my face. I'm photographable. So it's like, that's a gift.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't say it's a gift.
On some level, genes or whatever, I still look better than most of the people in my
You do indeed. Not many of my guests could come in here and talk about blowing Taylor Williamson and get away with it.
Oh, God.
I think anyone could talk about it. I don't know what I would do. Stop it. That's all I could say is verbally. Physically, if it was happening, there's lots of things I could do to stop it. But I think most guests could talk about it.
Would you fight?
I would, actually.
Taylor Negron is blowing you. Let's think about this for a minute. You're in show business. Do you want to succeed or not?
See, I've had this conversation with people, like, what would you do to help your career, you know?
Yeah.
You know? And, like, the crazy hypothetical, like, girls say that, like, you could... I'm talking like if you could star in Spider-Man, like you'd be Tobey Maguire for 3 years, franchise, would you blow a guy? And they're like, no, I wouldn't. And I'm like, but like, think about it. Like, really? And then girls are the same way. No,
but that doesn't exist.
What?
Blowing people for jobs.
But hypothetical, though. People are
still... Hypothetical, it'd be really good to have a flying car. Then I could have the car hovering up in the air over this place.
You don't think that happens, Taylor?
No.
You don't think people exchange sex for success?
Even when I've produced shows and done so many things, people have offered themselves to me. I'm like, get the out of here. Are you nuts?
Hang on a second. If people have offered themselves to you, then you've got to presume they've offered themselves to others. And if they've offered themselves to others, then other people might say yes.
They weren't that special. I mean, unless you can go up there and sing two numbers and make me cry and then do a really great joke and be able to have a really good agent at a fine, you know, company.
You're just saying that you have... you have moral fiber. That's all you're saying. This town is littered. It's lousy with immoral fiber.
I don't believe in that morality, though. I mean, I have nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
I mean, if someone is going to be great in show business, then they have to... my suggestion is be completely and totally 100% brilliant.
But there's a lot of shit in this town.
That's what makes me think I have a shot.
Is that it?
Honestly, like when I'm more inspired by shitty actors on television and comedians who are successful... I'm not even joking, than people who are really talented and who are doing great things.
Well,
be careful with that.
How
it says unconsciously you can become really shitty.
Yeah. I think it happens.
Like, I mean, you're better off like watching occasionally a little Richard Pryor or some Lily Tomlin or some...
Eddie Pepitone.
Wonderful, wonderful.
Yeah, I mean, like you watch Eddie Pepitone and you think, okay, so this is the real thing.
Yeah.
But then if you look at Eddie Pepitone, you think, I would never want to be that. I think he's one of the funniest people in the world. You don't look at that and think, that's what I'm going for.
It was definitely a hard drive to where he is now.
But
there's
it's
no
all about your
about
original
that.
Voice. Nobody gets to be what they want. They have to be what they are.
Right.
And make the joke about what you are. And that's the problem in this culture, is that nobody really wants to go into the realms of deep thinking and find out what they are.
What are you, Taylor Williamson?
I'm a great guy. But that is seriously, that's what's hard about doing stand-up in Los Angeles early on or at the beginning of your career or any time really, is you start doing, what does the industry want from me? What are they looking for? Instead of being true to yourself and being who you are, being organic. And like, that's why...
Yeah, be organic.
Yeah, and I do my best to
be
do
totally
so.
Be totally organic, but do the, you know, you got to do the work.
Yeah.
The thing about stand-up comedy is that, and you all know, is that it's 3 hours of writing, non-negotiable.
Mm-hmm.
It's just non-negotiable.
But a year? 3 hours a year?
3 hours a day.
a day. Minimum. What were you going to say, Matt?
It's like going to the gym.
But I was going to say, but you also do need to pay attention. You need to work out who you are and what you are like and where you can be and where you can fit and whether you should change things. Like when I first decided on this accent.
This is a fake accent, I'm kicking your ass.
Are you from London?
Yeah.
Oh, it's a great accent.
Isn't he pretty? His voice.
Well, I mean,
I would fuck his
Stop
voice.
Stop trying to pimp me out. Like you're trying to build me up again because you know I'm crushed because he was after Taylor the whole show.
What did you think?
And I appreciate what you were doing there, Emery. But like, I know I've missed the boat on this one. I know, and also I know he's already admitted that it wouldn't even have any effect because he's the one with scruples.
Tell me about your education in England. Was it fine?
It was all right. It was okay. It was.
I'm very impressed with your people's curriculum.
Really? Oh, no, there's a fair deal of shit in England as well. Like,
you,
I got lucky.
But you
I was
learned
at a decent
stuff,
school.
Didn't you?
What's that?
You learned stuff.
I think I learned some things, yeah.
Well, you went to religious school, right?
No.
Which doesn't mean the same
thing.
No.
I went to... My school was affiliated with a religion.
Okay.
But most British schools are in some way or another. We were talking about this the other day. Like, my school was nominally Church of England, which meant we sung Christian hymns in school assembly. There was a chaplain of the school. Like, the main... But that doesn't actually mean, like, we didn't have religion rammed down. Like, the morality of the school wasn't driven by religion. It was more a religious school in the way that, say, you'd have a hospital that has an affiliation with a religion.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Like,
the Church of England's very good on that. I spent a lot of time in England. I know that.
Yeah, the Church of England's quite a loose
religion
anyway.
Well, when you think about what a scam that is, that they just made a religion based on a divorce. It's just
right, yeah. The entire foundation of the Church of England is because Henry VIII wanted... to be divorced, and he couldn't under the Catholic faith.
Yeah.
So
welcome to religion, ladies and gentlemen.
Well,
but all
there's a Church of England.
You know, like when you're cooking something and the soup comes through, all that stuff comes through. You get the beautiful broth, which is what we're doing in the consommé. But there are things in that garbage that are delicious.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, the rose window, the nave, the Quran.
No argument. The Quran is horrific.
There's some beautiful things. I just heard a wonderful quote by a Pakistani woman that she said, The heaven is literally the area underneath your mother's feet.
That's nice.
Does she have a trampling fetish?
It's very poetic, which I find a lot of people really enjoy the way the Quran sounds, you know, well, rather than reading it. Right? They'd rather hear the Quran than read it. I mean, well, that's the way you should read it.
Right.
Sometimes you have to read everything.
But everything is so poetic sounding, you know, and I try to ask people who are talking to me on the Great Wall of Reason here to try to just speak in terms
I just quoted the Quran. That's how it was written.
I'm not speaking to you.
Have you read the Quran, by the way?
Yeah.
Okay.
Not speaking to you specifically in that nature. I'm just adding to that it sounds beautiful. This heaven.
Beautiful.
Yes, it is beautiful. But when I try to get down to the nitty gritty of, okay, what does that mean?
It means that we come from holy. Our mothers. Our mothers are the nicest people in the world.
You ever met my mother?
Is that true?
No, she's a nice lady. A lot of people in life have really bad
lives when their mothers are not nice.
Yeah.
But there's a lot in the Quran that's horrific. I mean,
a lot. And so in the Bible and so on TV.
Thank you.
But I mean, you just don't take the TV and throw it into the water.
No.
I certainly stay
off every channel that's spewing a bunch of religious bullshit.
Why would you?
I block them.
Why would you take a book that's supposed to guide your entire life and pick and choose from parts of it instead of the entirety of it, taking it as a whole and, you know.
Why would you take anything as a whole, though?
Why wouldn't you?
Well, let me tell you.
Well, it's a little lube. But that's what always confuses me, you know. There are so many beautiful things in the Bible. Yes, I agree. There's beautiful verses in the Quran, I agree. But there are people out there that just take those.
There are beautiful things in Charlotte Bronte's world, and there's really beautiful stuff.
But they're living their lives by this.
Exactly.
Well, they're living their lives by Twilight. I mean, it's people are doing it to, and it's just not religion. It's like everything. But what can you take the best part of the... I always go back to gardening and recipes. What's the best thing you could learn about how to braise a piece of meat? And some people would like a kosher table. They're good at braising meat. They're not very, very good at having fun afterwards. But you could take that one little bit. Because without any religion, I fucked a priest and I fucked a nun. Is this to me?
Wait a minute. At the same time?
No.
Oh, I was so almost there.
No, but I mean, it's like.
Was that like, just payback?
How old were you when you fucked the priest?
Taylor's age.
I'm 3,000 years old.
What? All right, ladies and gentlemen, first of all, I want to thank our guest for being here.
I think I've shared too much.
Never.
Never. Yeah.
Hang on, are you talking now or like in general?
Now.
Taylor always shares too much. Well, it's why he's so wonderful.
Well, I'm very private. I'm very private. So it's interesting to come out of my little house and actually talk.
Well, I want to have you back. I think you're absolutely wonderful. I don't care what you say. I think that when you talk, it's just fucking poetry.
There are many things to be taken from many things. The Quran, you know, so many of my friends are Muslims and they have such beautiful lives. And so you talk about Ramadan and how much work that is. You know, you have to tip off your hat. Most of us could never do Ramadan.
Would,
but could. I'm talking about would and could do different things. To go and observe the holy Ramadan.
Yeah.
That's just a lot of inner strength and courage and discipline. And we can't even like...
But the same is true of Atkins.
No, Yatkins, trust me, the Quran, I mean, the rule, it's written for Ramadan. And I go through Ramadan every year with my friends.
Well, they have those little kids, you know, they put them on the internet. You know, there's maybe just a few of them, I can't say they have them. But
right.
They know the whole... I can't say know the whole Quran, but know tons of verses by heart. Toddlers. It's just
but most kids are exempt from Ramadan.
I know all the songs from Aladdin.
That's why I appreciate you.
Taylor, do you have any parting words? Were we too hard on you? I said hard on.
No. I just want to make clear, like you said, that I look uncomfortable. Like, I'm always uncomfortable.
I see.
So it's just normal. It wasn't special.
Oh, really?
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. So I was unaffected by this podcast show, but I enjoyed it a lot.
Unaffected.
Okay.
I was hoping this
would be kind of an intervention because you're sitting next to a Jewish atheist
here. We missed that. But for the record, I'm Jewish, you know, but I'm totally willing to convert if it'll help my career. Or if there's like a hot chick who's like, you have to become like,
gotta be a chick.
What do you want for your career? You want to be on a TV show?
I'm being silly with that stuff. I keep stand up's my passion or whatever, but I love people and I love to be write TV and write and star in movies with me and my friends and have people come see me do stand up as well.
That's
it's
good.
It's happening. That's going really well for him.
That's what I do.
I want to thank everybody for being here. We got to wrap up the show. Thank you so much, Taylor and Taylor. Thank you very much, Matt,
thank
for being
you.
Here.
Thank
we
you.
Also want to thank Ben, so by the way. Fantastic. Ben Edwards is in the room. He's been taping us. Thank you very much, Ben.
Keeping what?
Taping us. And I also want to thank our special guest, Daniel Finca. Thank you very much for coming into the show via Skype. We really appreciate your thoughts and your ideas. I also want to thank my co-host, Heather Henderson, and New Dissident Radio. That's it for Episode 5. I'm your host, Emery Emery.
And I'm Heather Henderson. Today's music, courtesy of the sound editor of The Aristocrats, Eric Wilson.
Tune in next week, where our guests will be Dave Foley, Kumail Nanjiani, and Matt Cornell. We'll be talking about Muslims, and is it okay to bash their beliefs? You can follow us on Facebook. Just search for Ardent Atheist, and on Twitter.com/Ardent Atheists, with an S at the end. You may also find links to our guest's website on ardentatheist.com. You've been listening to Ardent Atheist on New Dissident Radio. Ardent Atheist is a product of natural selection.
New Dissident Radio. Keep your dissonance. What? Fuck, no. That's wrong. Shit. I totally fucked it up. I'm gonna do it again. New Dissident Radio. Keep your dissonance. Hey, I did it. Fuck me.